Good afternoon, Steeler Nation. This is Rudy, Rude Dog Reyes, on the RudeDogShow.com. This was kind of a spur of the moment. I don't typically perform interviews this quickly, but Annie Benoit certainly had some things he had to do, and everybody deserves a break at some point. Andy, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and what you do, other than I know that you write with Peter King on MondayMorningQuarterback.si.com?
Yeah, I'm an NFL analyst for Sports Illustrated. So basically, this time of year, what I do is I sit and watch the coaches' film for the NFL on every game I can get to, and I write, accordingly. I write about it. And then in the off season, I'll travel and interview players, meet with a lot of coaches, go to the NFL events and that sort of thing. So it's football junkie type stuff that I guess someone's decided they're willing to pay me for, which is very fortunate for me.
Absolutely right. I don't have the pleasure of that quite yet, but I have interviewed my hands fulls of players from Division 1, 2, 3. I had the pleasure of interviewing Jerome Bettis, Andy Russell, Max Starks, just tons of great guys, including draftees like Dante Adai, who's out in Tampa Bay, and just doing a lot of draftee-type things during draft season, of course. But we're in a full swing, week 9 NFL season. Got a lot of excellent games on the horizon, and games, a battle of the unbeatens between the Packers and the Panthers. Redskins at Patriots, we pretty much know who's going to win that. Unfortunately, it's going to be the Patriots. Titans at Saints, Dolphins at Bills, Rams, Vikes, Jags, Jets, Raiders, Steelers, and that's going into week 9. But let's talk about week 8. We're going to talk about the Steelers. It's just what I do. How do you think the Steelers will fare up with Ben Roethlisberger coming back with a very red-hot, not to mention Andy Dalton's hair, Cincinnati Bengals coming into Heinz Field?
Well, I mean, those teams have obviously they match up every year, and there's going to be a familiarity there. It's a different Steeler offense with Roethlisberger, not just obviously in execution. Anytime you have a top five type quarterback, veteran quarterback, you're going to have a different offense versus the backup. But a big difference in approach, and they really limited things for Michael Vick. They didn't have to limit quite as much for Landry Jones, although it was still not the same thing. And what was missing from Pittsburgh's offense that will now be back was the spread game. Roethlisberger has become a very, very good spread quarterback, something a lot of people never thought he'd be able to do. And Todd Haley is having, they didn't, for whatever reason, they didn't feel comfortable with the spread for Landry Jones. And when you lose the spread in Pittsburgh, you lose a lot of your screen concepts. And the screen passing game, especially with those wide receivers, that's a big part of their offense. That's probably 6 or 7 snaps, plus you have to factor in the threat of it and defenses having to account for it. So to get that dimension back, they haven't had Martavis Bryant with their screen game yet, so now there's an added wrinkle, an added dimension to it. Le'Veon Bell's fully healthy and in full swing. He wasn't there for the first 2 games. Assuming Roethlisberger's adequate enough, it's going to be the most dynamic we've seen the Steelers' offense. And I would expect all the more spread concepts because if they do feel the need to protect his knee a little bit in his first game back, going spread is a way to do that because the ball comes out so quickly when you spread out.
Right, that it does. Ben Roethlisberger, before going out with a sprained ACL, not torn, his sprained ACL, one of those dependable quarterbacks inside and outside the pocket, almost so hard to bring him down. Many linebackers have basically quoted it as saying that he's like pulling down a tree trunk. You know, it's almost impossible to get him down. And with Villanueva filling in for an injured Kelvin Beachum, he's going to have his hands full. I mean, that defense of the Cincinnati Bengals is going to try to pickpocket Ben Roethlisberger all day long. What do you see wrong with Alejandro Villanueva, and how do you believe he's going to overcome that unnatural position for him during this game against Cincinnati?
Well, I thought Villanueva played pretty well against Kansas City. He got exposed a little bit there towards the end when there was a lot of passing downs, obvious passing situations. Tamba Hali was a difficult player to block because he plays so low and he's so explosive. He got the best of him a few times, but overall, watching the Chiefs and the Steelers film, I didn't feel that the Steelers were overmatched at their left tackle position. I wouldn't worry about it as much in this game either for two reasons. One, when you go back to those spreads, and they're not going to spread out and throw on three-step timing on every down. Mm-hmm. But when you do that, and they'll do it a lot, then that negates the pass rush, especially from the defensive end, because the defensive end can't cover enough ground to get to a quarterback on that kind of quick timing. So you don't have to worry about it so much. In fact, if anything, Villanueva's biggest deal will be chop blocking Michael Johnson, who's a lanky guy and can get his hands up and take away some of those quick passing lanes. But as far as Johnson hitting Roethlisberger, I don't think we're going to see a lot of that. The other thing is Michael Johnson's a very inconsistent player, and you don't know what you're going to get from him each week. I would be more concerned about Wallace Gilberry, in fact, the backup DN who will rotate in there at times. Mm-hmm. In fact, he might actually start in the base 4-3.
Right.
But overall, I don't think Villanueva's I've only seen one game, and there are physical limitations. You can see that, but those were not a problem in the first game last week.
No, not at all. Villanueva, one of those U.S. Army captains, hadn't played a down of football since before the Steelers acquired him, and he has large shoes to fill with an All-Pro in Kelvin Beachum. I had the pleasure of talking to Kelvin last year, and he's very humble. He's a very solid guy. Has great footwork, great handwork, great hand-eye coordination. Knows how to. You've seen a little bit of it previous. He doesn't know how to push guys off. Ends up falling into traps to where they get the best of him and in turn sacking the quarterback. As far as that spread is concerned, no, Landry Jones did not follow his reads of progressions last week against Kansas City. Looked mediocre in the pocket, was able to create something downfield. A lot of it had to do with the calls that Ben Roethlisberger was making into his headset. Michael Vick, on the contrast, went into San Diego. He was more managing the game than he was trying to win the game. But when Ben Roethlisberger called in a few plays, it was as if you've seen a highlight reel of what he looked like when he was with Atlanta. He was able to get out of the pocket, scramble, throw on the run. He did that to Marcus Wheaton, able to scamper for 30-plus yards. Le'Veon Bell went in for that touchdown. So there's a lot of playing differences between the two, not to mention Antonio Brown not getting the required, per se, required amount of touches when he was trying to get the ball to him. I mean, clearly not used to receiving balls from a left-handed quarterback. Of course, Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown pair up and has paired up for the last 3 years as being one of the most dynamic duos in the NFL from quarterback to wide receiver standpoint. What do you believe is going to be seen with Antonio Brown and Ben Roethlisberger in this game at home against Cincinnati?
Well, all the things you normally see. So you'll probably have three or four catches just off of the screens out of those spread concepts. Roethlisberger works the deep intermediate levels pretty well in the passing game, which Landry Jones did all right with that too last week. He gave it a shot. There was some inconsistencies there. But, whatever you typically see from Brown is what you're going to see now that Roethlisberger's back.
Definitely so. Ben Roethlisberger, again, two-time Super Bowl winning quarterback who knows how to win, and he's done it while he's been injured. Is it a good call or a bad call that Ben Roethlisberger is heading in to the Cincinnati game back from injury?
I can't speak to that. I don't know the details of his knee situation. I don't have any inside information on that. Obviously, they feel comfortable putting him in there, and they have the most vested interest of all in Roethlisberger next to Roethlisberger himself, and both parties in that regard feel comfortable with him being in there. So I would trust that it's all right and they're good to go.
Yeah, Ben Roethlisberger knows his limitations. He's done it for years. And as far as him being able to essentially understand from a pain tolerance standpoint, everybody has a threshold, and when you cross that threshold, I'm done. Your hands are going to be thrown up in the air. You're going to say, I'm completed. There is no way I'm going to finish this game. And that's what happened against the Rams. Talking about other parts of the NFL this year, lots of good stuff going on. Lots of battles of the unbeatens. You have a lot of teams that are kind of on the rise and fall. Packers, Broncos, that's going to be an interesting game. Peyton Manning is dropping off a little bit in regards to his trajectory, throws, and his accuracy. against the Green Bay Packers teams, getting Eddie Lacy back from being injured. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is just laying the smack down throughout, you know, the NFL world right now, having that perfect record. If you had to pick a team that's going to win or lose that day, who would that be?
If I had those kind of answers, I wouldn't have the job I have. I'd go bet all the time. I'd go to Las Vegas. That's a tough call. I think Denver's the more complete team right now. I think they do match up pretty well against Green Bay's wide receivers. So if I had to pick one, I guess you may factor in home field. That certainly doesn't hurt. I would probably give Denver the edge, but if nobody knows the answer to these kind of these games, I mean that's why they play them.
Right, exactly. And any given Sunday, a team that's unbeaten can leave beaten, and by no means does one loss indicate that your team is on the decline. And there's a lot of hype built around undefeated teams. I mean, look at the New England Patriots. They went all the way to the Super Bowl, and their only loss was the one in the Super Bowl against the Giants. So, you know, loss don't necessarily indicate how good you're doing or how bad you're doing, but there are a lot of teams right now in worse positions than just being threatened to lose one game. I mean, it is what it is at that point. So with that being said, when we're looking at the complete defensive side for the Pittsburgh Steelers, they don't have Stephon Tuitt. He did not practice. Will Allen may or may not play, more likely out than anything else. How do you foresee the Steelers' defense taking on a different look without these two guys in the lineup?
Well, they've had Allen out for a few weeks now, and Tuitt, you lose some dynamic elements up front, but it doesn't change your approach. They just have to take the same approach, only with different guys. They might play in their sub packages a little bit more because they're thinner at defensive line, and so maybe we see them go to nickel in some scenarios, and it'll be interesting to see if they decide to play nickel against Tyler Eifert, Cincinnati tight end. So, honestly, you got to play with the guys you got, and it hurts to have guys injured or coming back or whatever, but there are very few players in the NFL where their absence will drastically change a team's approach. The NFL is a Knicks fan up type of league.
And it has been league wide. You're going to have players who, who've been so dynamic until injury. It happened last year without Le'Veon Bell. The Steelers went flat offensively. It seems as if it was a different mindset. They're just going to try to win the game, not try to do any more than that. And of course, there was so much clouding over LeGarrette Blount coming in, and then that whole situation there with Le'Veon Bell, wrong place, wrong time situation. But this is a different Steelers team. To go 2-2 without Ben Roethlisberger would be hard pressed to not be able to change not only from the quarterback position, but from what Ben is looking at downfield, what he sees, what his trajectory is. He understands the game probably better than any quarterback out there, obviously for some exceptions. But granted, one of those guys who you can count on as an every down player who will play through pain. But again, that threshold would call him almost a three strikes or out situation. Of course, that applies to baseball. But here in football land, a lot of things to be said for an upcoming battle against Cincinnati, which seems to be red hot. What do you see Cincinnati doing for which they haven't done in any year previous?
Nothing really. What they're doing is the same stuff they have been. They're just better at it. And they've been, that whole offense now, the personnel, top to bottom, has been together for the better part of 4 years. And Hugh Jackson always does a very good job game planning to play to his guys' strengths. And they're using a variety of different formations. They're deep along the offensive line. They take advantage of that. They've got skill position guys. It's a good Bengals team.
So if obviously we're not betting people, and I don't bet. I mean, every day you wake up, you're going to be betting on, well, am I going to make the good decision today or bad decision today? But knowing what you know about Cincinnati, knowing what you know about Pittsburgh, how they're getting Ben Roethlisberger back, do you think that there's a 3-point swing somewhere similar to that of what you would see against Pittsburgh and Baltimore?
Well, Pittsburgh and Baltimore, that's a different type of football. It's a physical nature of football. There's a physicality to it. With Cincinnati, what you get more, it's not that they're not physical, but they're going to beat you with a variety of finesse concepts. They're going to try to outwork you and out-scheme you, out-leverage you, really, through formations and deceptive play designs. So it's, and I think that when you say Pittsburgh-Baltimore, you're speaking to Pittsburgh-Baltimore a few years ago, the rivalry that we've seen and come to know, not so much how they would match up this year. And that's a strength versus strength. I think with this one, it's you're going to have to be very disciplined, tactically disciplined if you're the Steelers.
Absolutely right. Hey, I appreciate you coming on. It was short notice, but I sincerely appreciate your time. Can you tell listeners how they can find you and to read more about what you do?
You could. It's at Andy_Benoit, Benoit, or mmqb.com is where my writing goes.
Sounds good. I've had a chance to read some of your articles. You definitely have some good things going on that website with Peter King. So thank you for your time, Andy. I do appreciate it. Have a great weekend, and we're going to see what happens in week 8 of the NFL season.
All right, thanks, Rudy. I appreciate it.
No problem. Take care. Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, with that being said, this is Rudy Rude Dog Reyes on the RudeDogShow.com.